Instead of walls, a roof, windows, and a sense of security, there are ashes, brownish-gray ashes, with foundation walls or a chimney or a charred appliance standing up out of the wreckage. Somewhere in that mess might be a few items of at least sentimental value, and so people brave the warnings about the likely toxicity of the stew and dig in there looking for something worth preserving and restoring. Fire victims who lost homes in California and Oregon are getting help in their efforts from volunteer groups. Those include the Christian organization Samaritan's Purse. Todd Taylor is the manager of U.S. Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Todd, welcome.
Good morning.
Good to have you. So tell us what the usual work of Samaritan's Purse is all about.
So Samaritan's Purse is a non-denominational evangelical relief organization. We respond to situations internationally with war and famine and disease. Here domestically, we do a lot of disaster relief, and that takes a lot of different shapes and forms. We are down in Louisiana responding to Hurricane Laura with four different responses down there. We're also in Alabama with Hurricane Sally. We're finishing up work in Iowa with the derecho that happened back the 1st of August. And we're here in Medford, Oregon, as well as in Santa Cruz, California, helping homeowners that have lost everything to these wildfires. We're helping them go through the ash to recover those little keepsakes, those mementos that could have survived the flames.
And it sounds like Samaritan's Purse has some experience at this kind of work.
Yes, sir. We've been involved in wildfire recovery on the West Coast since 2003 with the Cedar Fire. As we were called out there to assist a partner church, we kind of learned how to go about sifting through these homes through trial and error and finding those little mementos that can help homeowners gain closure as they get ready to begin the rebuilding process.
So that's what it really is. It's not about trying to recover anything of huge value, but just trying to be able to close off that chapter and move on to the next, is from what you're saying.
That's right. When a homeowner stands in front of a pile of ash, like so many thousands of people are having to do across the West Coast right now, and I understand there are new fires that have just broken out in the last 24 hours.
In the Redding area, yeah, and in Napa.
When these things happen, you know, our organization and other groups like Samaritan's Purse, we're able to come alongside these homeowners, listen to their stories, listen to them tell about their child's first footsteps or a parent and what this home meant to them and childhood memories. And these things have just really, in just some cases, 10 minutes have vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently, there are little things left behind. Our very first job there in Medford, there was a story featured on it, but it was an 84-year-old lady. She wanted one thing out of her home, and that was her wedding band. Our team searched diligently for about 45 minutes to an hour, and they were able to recover it. It was unharmed, a little blackened, but nothing some jewelry cleaner couldn't take care of. But it gave her that closure that she needed to know that everything had been looked for. She had been able to recover that one item, and she is fortunate. Frequently, there is nothing recoverable, and it's just the knowledge that people care enough to take the time to look.
So this involves not just training for the volunteers from Samaritan's Purse, but in a sense, you're kind of preparing the homeowner for the possibility that there won't be anything there.
That's right. And we also partner with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, and they do provide an additional level of spiritual and emotional care. These chaplains have all been trained with the critical incident stress management classes from FEMA, and they want to stand there with those owners and just listen to their stories and to be a shoulder to cry on, to a sounding board for frustrations, but more than anything, just being there with them as they face this time.
So you're already in Medford, I gather, and you're based at the New Life Church of the Nazarene in East Medford?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And so, how many houses have you had a chance to help people with so far?
So right now, at the end of the day yesterday, we've completed 84 requests. We've taken in 450 requests, and so we still have about 350 open.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of opportunity for volunteers from across the Rogue Valley to get involved and come out and help Samaritan's Purse as we help those victims of this wildfire in the Rogue Valley.
Samaritan's Purse is the name of the organization. Todd Taylor is the name of our guest. He's the manager of U.S. Disaster Relief for the organization. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Todd, you mentioned a bit of trial and error in the early days of Samaritan's Purse doing this back in 2003, but the pics on the website now show people wearing boots and other protective gear. I imagine the process is well-versed and well-developed, and people are well-trained for it?
That's correct. We meet every morning at 7:30 and then again at 12:30 there at New Life in Medford, and we'll take each volunteer through about a 30-minute safety briefing where they'll learn just a little bit about the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse, and then we focus on safety, how to wear the N95 mask, how to wear the gloves and the Tyvek suits, and we provide all of the safety equipment necessary for our teams to be able to go into these situations and remain safe. We know that there's some toxins in these homes that burn that we cannot easily identify, and so we just want to be diligent to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep these volunteers safe.
Was there any issue with getting the protective gear that you guys have to wear? You mentioned the Tyvek suits and the you got the respirators and all that stuff. Were those in short supply, or were you trying to make sure other people got them at the peak of the pandemic earlier in the year?
So as Samaritan's Purse launched its COVID response, we did support several hospitals across the U.S. with Tyvek, with N95s, with gloves. Part of Samaritan's Purse is World Medical Mission, and we have been supplying mission hospitals with medical supplies since the beginning of Samaritan's Purse in 1970. We keep a good supply of these items on hand, and so we did retain just enough to be able to continue response as needed until the supply chains were replenished, and it seems now that that has occurred and we're able to get a good supply of safety items in now.
I didn't realize congratulations were in order that Samaritan's Purse is 50 years old this year.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, yes, sir, on that, yeah. So you mentioned the woman wanted to find a wedding band, and that was it was small, but you found it in 45 minutes to an hour. You mentioned also that there are a lot of cases where you find nothing at all, but have there been some cases where things were surprising to even the owner that something was found intact or at least recognizable?
There always is. I was at a home in Medford a couple of days ago, and as the team was getting ready to start, I noticed sheet music. Little charred edges, but pages of sheet music were in the foundation of the home, and the owner played the piano. She lost her keyboard or her piano, but there was somehow those pages of music survived. In the wildfires in 2007 in Southern California, we saw a 150-year-old porcelain heirloom nativity set that the family had brought from Germany as they immigrated to the United States. This piece of these porcelain pieces were invaluable to that family. And somehow, through all of the flames and all of the debris falling, there was not any harm that had come to that porcelain nativity set.
I've noticed that with ceramics, that since they've been fired already, they tend to be quite fire resistant.
They can be, or they can become very brittle.
Yeah, that's true too.
We've also seen the way that walls collapse sometimes, where photo albums and things like that just fall and are just really protected by the debris. Sometimes those are recoverable. and it is truly special for those families when things like that are found.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about in that kind of instance, though, Todd, where you're talking about potentially moving heavy stuff in an area where there's some potential toxicity? I mean, how do you approach that sort of thing?
So our volunteers go in with smaller shovels, and they simply just scoop out the ash in the area where the homeowner thinks that those items may be. And they put it in a sift, very simple made wood and wire sift, and they very gently run their hands across the ash, of course, in multiple levels of layers of gloves, so that the ash falls to the ground, and they're able to look through the ash in the sift for those items, for the smaller items. For the larger items, you know, it may be, I'm from the South, we call them a potato rake, but it's a wide, mm-hmm. a wide tooth rake so that they can move through the ash, and it kind of brings those larger items to where they can be seen. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to do this very slowly and methodically as not to disturb the ash and create an ash dust mm-hmm. Situation.
It sounds like you guys have gotten some official training from hazmat people or something.
We have several retired firefighters that are frequent volunteers with us. We actually have one on staff with us as well that has helped hone our process over the years. We've also taken some classes that are offered by FEMA, and we listen to the Environmental Protection Agency briefings and things like that to make sure we're following the guidelines.
Now, I noticed that it's not just you guys at Samaritan's Purse. Our guest is Todd Taylor, who's the manager of U.S. Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse. But I noticed folks in the Bethel Church in Reading up here as well. This is quite the Christian army, it seems.
God has called us to go and to serve. And Jesus told us, you know, with the Great Commission, he said, "Go ye therefore." And we want to go. We want to be out there allowing ourselves to be used as his hands and feet to provide tangible comfort to these folks that are hurting so badly because of natural disasters.
And Todd, are you getting called to do this more over time? I mean, it seems like there's kind of wall-to-wall disasters, particularly this year. I mean, we got fires, and you mentioned the hurricanes that Samaritan's Purse also sent teams to. So are you getting a little thin with the ability to send teams to places?
Well, we are. Right now, we have 8 response units here in the United States, and all 8 are actively engaged in ongoing deployments. All of our staff is deployed. And the vast majority of our volunteer leadership team, these are the men and women that track our volunteers, that lead our teams out in the field actually doing the work, that cook the meals for our volunteers, they're all engaged. They are all deployed and working hard, or either they've just come back from a response or they're scheduled to come in. Mm-hmm. So we have a large need for volunteers, not only in Medford and in Santa Cruz, but across the nation right now.
Can you take local volunteers?
Oh, absolutely. There in the Rogue Valley, we meet daily, Monday through Saturday, at New Life Nazarene mm-hmm. Church at 1974 East McAndrews in Medford. And we welcome anybody over the age of 14. We do prefer that they pre-register and get all the information they would need at spvolunteer.org. If they'll go to that website, spvolunteer.org, they can find out about all the what they need to bring with them, the safety equipment, things like that, or they can just stop by the church and ask there at the big disaster relief trailer on the side of the church.
Todd, physical training aside, I mean, even somebody who's familiar with how to use the respirator and the rake and the hazmat suit and all that stuff, I mean, this is an emotional toll, I would think, for the volunteers. How do you train for that?
It really is. I've been with the ministry now for 15 years, and seeing these homes destroyed, especially by wildfire, is something that it's you don't get used to. As I stood at one of the mobile home parks earlier this week or last week, it's almost, you have the sense of this is sacred ground. This is this was somebody's life. And in those mobile home parks with the retirement communities, you know, those are elderly people that have had their entire lives collected within those four walls. And you have to learn to treat that with the utmost respect. And, you know, even though it's ash, it is still somebody's life. And we encourage and strive for our volunteers to have that level of deep respect and concern. Now, they may go home and, you know, and struggle with some of the things that they see. I mean, when you see a puddle of aluminum with glass and nails embedded in it from the heat where it melted their car rims and then glass exploded, you know, these are things that you don't forget very easily.
No, that is for sure. Now, we've mentioned Samaritan's Purse is an evangelical Christian organization. You don't require people to be Christians to ask for your service, do you?
No, sir. We want to help as many people across the Rogue Valley and anywhere that we respond to. We want to help people. It doesn't matter what faith they are, what their beliefs or non-beliefs are. We come to simply serve. And, you know, we take that from the story of the Good Samaritan. As the Samaritan was walking down the road, he did not ask any questions about who was in the ditch. He just went to help. And that's what we strive to do.
How can you afford to do this? You got lots of people. You're moving all over the country all the time.
That's correct. We are completely funded by private donations here in the U.S. And so people can give at SamaritansPurse.org if they choose to support the work of Samaritan's Purse.
All right. So you said 450 requests. I imagine those are getting added to all the time, or do you have to close it off at some point and say, this is how many we can help?
So with the Medford response, we're still accepting requests. In Santa Cruz, we're still accepting requests. But unfortunately, across Louisiana, because we've been so inundated with requests, we've actually had to take a pause in accepting new requests in Louisiana now.
Wow. Okay. So at some point, yeah, you did kind of run to the limit of what volunteers and time and space can do. So lots of work going on out there for sure. Samaritan's Purse is on the web and linked from our website at jeffexchange.org. Base of operations in Oregon is the New Life Church of the Nazarene, 1974 East McAndrews Road in Medford. Todd Taylor is the manager of U.S. Disaster Relief, and he's graciously been our guest. Thank you for joining us, Todd.
Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, take care. That will do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We're not exactly going to talk about teen suicide again in hour two, but we'll talk about troubled girls with the author of a book that he felt needed to be updated after 10 years. We'll talk about Girls on the Edge in hour two coming up.